super excited to be here tonight. You're my favorite teenagers on the planet. Did you know that? You really are. I'm not just saying it. I think that we have the best youth group around. I really do. I'm saying that in all honesty, not just because this is our church. And you have an incredible youth pastor. Did you know that? Like, you really did. I don't have to say that, but I really like Tyler. I just like him as a friend. Like, you have an amazing youth pastor. I wish that I had a youth group like this growing up. I didn't, and I wish that I did. So I just want to, like, give you a little bit of an encouragement to know that you are so blessed. You really, really are so blessed to be in this youth group with Pastor Tyler and Natalie, and they're amazing. So I am going to start talking about love notes, because let me look at my time. Okay, I know where I am. So Pastor Tyler, when he asked me to do this, said, "Lisa, can you bring any love notes that you have?" And I have love notes, but they're at my mom's house, my mom and dad's house, in my room, in the closet, on the top shelf, in a Converse box. Because Converse were cool when I'm old, but this is why everything comes back around, right? How many of you have a pair of Converse in your closet? Okay, that's what I thought. So I had Converse too. And they're all there at my house in Louisiana. But then I realized, like, okay, that was my high school, like, junior high notes. I have college notes, but when our house flooded, everything went into storage. And so all of those love notes are somewhere, like, hidden away in storage. So I went to Jason. I'm like, "Jason, I need something." What? And he was like, "Wait, I have something." And he gave me something. And I'm like, it's not like an actual love note, but it's like a love note Jason style, which would be to the extreme, because we already talked about that, right? He lives life with passion. So I'm going to set it up like this. Jason and I met in college. So it was his first year, my second, so my sophomore year. Did you know that I'm older than Pastor Jason? I am. Yeah, 10 months older than Pastor Jason. So we're in college, and it's a Christian college called SAGU. It's where Tyler and Natalie went to. So we're there, and we had chapel every day, about maybe 1,500 kids. So there's a lot of kids packed in this room. So this is way back in the olden days, like when we didn't have computers that projected love notes on the screen right here. Instead, there was a thing called an overhead projector. How many of you, anybody? No, yes, you still use them sometimes. Okay, cool, some of your teachers still use them. So the whole thing with overhead projectors is you take a transparency and you make kind of a slide and put it up on the overhead projector. So we also had something at college called class night, which is your equivalent to prom, okay? But it's like a college prom. So Jason liked me. I didn't know if I liked him, but like I kind of like had my eye on him a little bit. I wasn't sure, but he was like, you know him. He was sure, like, this is it, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like, I don't know, right? So I come into chapel. I sit with all my friends. We sit in the same section. We're hanging out, and it's time for announcements. And that's when the slide changes. And so the slide changes, and I'm like talking to a friend, and all of a sudden everybody starts like hitting me on the shoulder, and I hear like, you know, across the whole auditorium with 1,500 people in it. And I look up, and on the massive screen, this is what it says right here. "Lisa Williams," that was my maiden name, "will you go with me to class night? Please check one. Yes, no, maybe. What's up now?" So I look at the screen, and I'm sitting there, and I go, like that, and I sink all the way down in my chair and cover my eyes like, I cannot believe this guy just did this. So he somehow like bribed the person that was changing the transparencies to put it in there really quick. And I did say yes, and I did go with him. And then another time, one more love note, I show up to class one morning. It's my 8 a.m. class. We had been dating for a little while. He had already said he loved me. I didn't yet. So I'm like, I don't know if I love you. So I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, and then the first time he ever told me he loved me, he's like, I love you. And I said, you can't say that. And he goes, what do you mean I can't say that? I do love you. And I said, you don't know if you love me. You just like me. Like, you just like me. And he was so mad at me. So he was like, I'm going to prove to you that I love you. So he snuck in my classroom before the professor, before anybody else, who knows how he got in there, and across the whole whiteboard that's like this big, it's like a huge whiteboard, he writes, I love you, Lisa Williams. And then he signs it, Jason. So I come into class late, and when I walk in the door, everyone is smiling and staring at me, and I'm like, what is going on? And my friends were like, and they're pointing, and the professor looks at me and just kind of like this knowing look and stares at the board, and I see it, and again, I'm like, oh my God. And I just sink down in my chair like, what are you doing? So that is Love Notes, Jason style. So if you can take a few pointers, that's the way he did things. He put like roses in my car when I got out of work and got my roommates to like sneak in and put things in my bed and, you know, whatever. So that he gave like really big, passionate love notes, right? So, sorry, do you have my water bottle over here? I think all the little sickness going around is starting to get me. Okay, so those are my love notes. And I want to start by singing a little song. And if you know it, I want you to join in with me, okay? Ready? Jason and Lisa sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Lisa with the baby carrot. You do know it. I didn't know if it was just like an old person song. So you know it. There you go. So here's my question. Is that what dating is about, right? It says Jason and Lisa are sitting in a tree, okay, and then you kiss, and then you fall in love, and then you get married, and then you have a baby. So is dating sitting in a tree? Like, that's before the kissing and the marriage? Like, is that the progression of what we're supposed to have? But think about it. It's kind of, like, confusing, right? When you hear dating, like, if somebody says, we're dating, I'm thinking, are you boyfriend and girlfriend? Or, like, did you go somewhere together and you just, like, went on one date? Or did you go to prom together? Or, like, are you serious and it's only you and him and that's it? Are you dating other people? Like, how many of you are confused? Nobody's confused. Okay, Shannon's a little bit confused. Bree's a little confused. And now, yeah, okay, thank you, Ian. We're all a little bit confused. Dating can mean a lot of different things. And now there's online dating. There's like, have you ever heard of speed dating? Where people like sit down and different people come and they figure out who it is, or blind dating. I mean, it's confusing and complicated, because choosing the right person to be with for the rest of your life is a really important decision. So it's been a long time since I've dated, but I do have a lot of experience on the subject. And because I do, I kind of went back to there because I didn't always get it right. And because I didn't always get it right, I thought, okay, if I'm going to talk to the youth group, if I'm going to talk to you guys tonight, I want to tell you things that I wish I would have known at your age. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is here are things I wish I would have known at your age. Number one is, you don't have to date. You don't have to date. Culture says that we should date, and anyone that's cool or popular has a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Who would agree with that? You'd say, like, everybody has a boyfriend or girlfriend at my school, or all the cool people are dating, or they like someone. Okay, most of you, cool. But I want to tell you this. You're not weird, and you're not ugly, and you're not unwanted, and you're not, you know, unpopular just because you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I wish I had known this, because I dated too much. And I know you might look at me and you're like, what? No, you've only dated Pastor Jason. That's it, right? But it's not true. I've had a boyfriend, and my first boyfriend when I was 5 years old, not kidding. His name was Paul Landry. And Paul was my first boyfriend. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I'll tell it really fast. Paul and I were little, okay, and our sisters were best friends, and we were playing house, like maybe we were 6 or 7 years old, and he was dad, and he was leaving for work, and he's like, I'm leaving for work, bye, and then he came up to me, he goes, you have to kiss me, and I was like, okay, and so we kissed each other, and our sisters were in the room, and they saw, and they were like 5 years older than us, so they're like 10, oh my gosh, they just kissed. And they told our parents and everybody, and then the whole church knew. And I cried and I cried, and I was so sad because everybody found out that I kissed Paul Lantry when I was 5 years old. So that's where it started, is I had a boyfriend when I was five. And then I'm not kidding you that I can't ever remember not having a boyfriend after that, which is really sad to say, but it's true. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I always had a boyfriend, and I dated them because they were cute. I thought, like, oh, he's cute, I'll date him. And I thought it was fun to have a boyfriend. Like, I have fun with them. Like, they're cool to hang out with. But really, I dated them because I thought it was what I was supposed to do. Everybody else had a boyfriend, and so I was going to have one too. And I want to challenge you tonight that this is exactly what Pastor Tyler was talking about building a foundation, that Jesus should be your foundation. So I want to challenge you to make the most of your time and your singleness before you get into a relationship. Before you get into a relationship, being single is the most important time of your life. It's when God reveals to you who you are. It's when you figure out your identity and your purpose. It's whenever you fall in love with Jesus before you fall in love with someone else. And I really want that for you. I want to see you find your purpose in him before you find it in anyone else. Matthew 22, 36 through 39 says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So here's the progression. Love God, love ourselves, and then we can love others. You can't really love your neighbor, who's your boyfriend or your girlfriend, until you first learn how to love yourself. The problem is that a lot of us, we're trying to figure out how to love others in a relationship before we learn how to love ourselves. So we're always looking to another person to complete the deficiencies in us. We've never learned to be okay with who we are. And that's a problem, because someone else is never going to complete you. How many of you know a boy or a girl who just gets, like, completely lost when they're dating someone? Yeah, I do too. So I had a best friend, Julie, and when she dated a boy, she literally, like, morphed into them. Like, she disappeared. Like, we were super close friends, and then when she was dating somebody, all of a sudden, she was gone. Like, she was with them all the time. It got, like, it was kind of disgusting, right? You'd see them in the hallways, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. And you're just like, oh, you grossed me out, right? I remember that this specifically, every time they were on the phone, one of them would say, this is when they're hanging up, I love you. And the other one would say, I love you too. And then that person would have to say, I love you again. And that person, I love you too. So neither of them would be the only one saying, I love you at the end. It was ridiculous. And I just remember thinking, like, what is going on, right? What if God is trying to do a work in you alone before you bring someone else into the mix, before you get distracted by somebody else? And I want to encourage you to be content and okay in the season that you're in. And don't mess it up by bringing somebody else into the mix prematurely. You know, everybody, I feel like, especially at your age, and maybe adults around you, are obsessed with what's next. So, like, oh, you're not dating anybody? Oh, well, do you have a crush on somebody? Okay, you know, are you in junior high and high school? Well, do you have a boyfriend? And then after that, it's like, oh, you're a senior? Well, where are you going to college? Oh, you're going to college? Well, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Because you should know when you're 18 years old, right? And then they ask, oh, you're dating somebody? When are you getting married? And then it's, when are you having a baby? And then when are you having another baby? And it feels like everyone else is always pushing you into the next season. Does anybody get that? Anybody feel that pressure? Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And yes, I think you need to have a vision for your life and where you're headed and what's next, but you are going to miss out on what's in front of you right now if you're always looking to the next season, just like Pastor Tyler was saying earlier, right? Like, if you're always looking for the next season, then you're going to miss out on what's in front of you. Even Jesus had seasons in his life. He didn't even start ministry till he was 30 years old. All of the beginning was preparation for when he was 30 years old. So just remember that you don't have to be pushed into anything, that this season you're in is sacred, that this is special. God has something for you right now. Don't always be looking for what's next. You know, people always say the grass is greener on the other side, right? Like, it's better if you're dating, but it's not true. The grass is greener where you water it. God has called you to be secure in whatever season you're in, right? So if you're in a season of singleness, make the most of it. A boyfriend or a girlfriend or even a spouse is not going to bring security. You can only find security in your Savior. So remember that. Only a Savior produces security. You're not going to find that in a relationship with anyone else. So I want, I'm going to ask Billy or whoever's back there, or Rudy, can you play the first clip? I'm going to see, this is an old movie, but I'm going to see if any of you have ever.
You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
Okay, and that's where all the girls go, oh. Yes, there are other people there. So that's from an old movie called Jerry Maguire that you shouldn't watch because it's rated R, so you should not watch it. But it is an old clip from a movie. And when I was a teenager, everybody would be like, oh, you complete me. Like, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And you had me at hello. Like, that was the lines we said all the time. But that's a lie, okay? People do not complete you. And I want you to remember that. People don't complete you. If you are broken walking into a relationship, you will be broken when you are in the relationship. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. If you bring whatever you have, whatever junk you have, you're going to bring that junk into the relationship with you. No boy and no girl will ever complete you. Jason does not complete me. I can only find my completeness in the Lord, and it's the same for him, okay? Enjoy this season, make the most of it, and let God do the work that he wants to do in you. So number one, you don't have to date. Number two, when you do date, because you probably will one day, date with purpose. Date with purpose. Did you know that dating isn't biblical? I listened to Pastor Tyler's message, and I think he said this in his sermon as well. Back in the Bible, they had arranged marriages with dowries, and they had concubines and multiple wives and all kinds of craziness. And I'd say that today our setup is a lot better than that. What do you guys think? Do you want your parents to pick out your... Okay, no, that already, we've got a big no. So we're doing better than they did back there. So dating isn't biblical, but dating isn't wrong if God is in the middle. How many of you have ever heard, leave room for the Holy Spirit or leave room for Jesus, right? This is true. Leave room for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So this is really important when it comes to dating. When you date, your dating relationship should be for the glory of God. And I know that sounds really weird, but I'm going to say it a lot so you'll get used to it. How you date should be for the glory of God. I want you to ask these questions. Is who I'm dating bringing glory to God? Is how they live, is what they say, is what they listen to, is it bringing glory to God? You might be wondering, like, is this guy that I'm dating, is he the right one? Should I date him? Number one, is he a Christian? Because if he's not, then he's not bringing glory to God, and your relationship is not going to bring glory to God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, do not be unequally yoked. And what that means is don't missionary date. What's a missionary date? Missionary dating is saying, like, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to rescue him, and I'm going to bring him to Jesus. And chances are that's not going to happen. The better chances that they're going to bring you down. The better chances that you're going to get further and further away from Jesus when you're with them. Don't date people with the hopes of who they could be when you fix them. If that's the case, you shouldn't be dating them at all. 1 Corinthians says this, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Could you get any more clear than that? It's saying don't date someone that's not a Christian. Stop sinning. Stop what you're doing and get back on the right path. You have to be careful who you align your heart and your soul with and your mind with, because it can damage your purpose. How many of you believe that you have a purpose? If you don't, you do. I'll tell you right now, God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And if you're not careful who you align yourself with, that can mess up your purpose. The person you date should already be living their life to glorify God. If they aren't, it's a no-brainer. Break up with them. Like, do it tonight. Like that, I know that's straightforward, but I feel like I can say that really strong because I believe it with all my heart. And you have a call and you have a destiny and you have a purpose. It is not worth it. God has someone else for you. And yeah, maybe it'll be that person down the road if they accept Jesus and change their life. But until then, don't even entertain the thought. So are you saying, am I saying that you're sinning if you're in a relationship with an unbeliever? Well, what did God's word say? Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. So don't even entertain the thought. If somebody from school is cute and you're like, but he's so cute and he's popular and everybody likes him and he likes me and it's so cool and he's like so sweet, but he's not a Christian, don't even think about it. Don't entertain it. So that was number two, is when you date, do it with purpose. And the last one, number three, is set clear boundaries. So when you get the right perspective, which is I'm dating for the glory of God, then you're going to be able to set proper boundaries. And boundaries are biblical. So Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, I know I have sixth graders all the way through 12th graders in the room, but I think this is important for all of you to hear, being in youth group in the age that you are. Have you ever wondered how far is too, you don't have to raise your hand, how far is too far with a girlfriend or with a boyfriend? When I was in high school, I had that question, and my friends had that question, and I wanted my youth pastor to answer it. Basically, here was the question: how far can I go physically with my boyfriend or with my girlfriend as a Christian and not sin? And nobody would ever answer it for me. And I wanted them to answer it, and my friends wanted them to answer it, and it was kind of frustrating. Like, we knew that holding hands was okay, right? We knew that was okay, and we knew that sex was wrong. Yes, I did say sex in youth group. Everybody just do, like, real quick, get over it, okay. Okay, there we go. We got it out. Okay, so holding hands was okay and sex was wrong, but there was a lot in the middle. And how did I know what was okay and wasn't? Like, was kissing on the cheek okay? Was kissing goodnight okay? Was kissing for 5 minutes okay? Was going even a little bit further than that okay? Like, we had questions. But, and maybe some of you have those questions. Maybe you've already have those questions, and maybe you think you might have gotten it wrong already. But the truth is, I was asking the wrong question altogether. This is the question I should have been asking instead: is how I'm dating bringing glory to God? Is what I'm doing with my boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're a guy, bringing glory to God? And you might say, like, okay, Lisa, you keep saying that, but what does that even mean? I'm kind of like, stop being so vague. This is what it means. If somebody saw me or caught me doing what we're doing right now, would my witness be destroyed? Like, would I be able to say anything about my relationship with Jesus to my friends that are unsaved if they saw my text messages to my boyfriend? Or if they saw my search page on Instagram, would I be able to talk to people about my relationship with Jesus? We need to reframe our questions to from how far is too far, and am I dating the right person, and when is it okay to this instead. Is what I'm doing, who I'm with, and when I'm doing it, bringing glory to God? Can this person help me grow in my relationship with God? Will this person help me to encourage me in my relationship, in my pursuit of God? Will this person pursue God with me, and how can we glorify God together? If you don't feel like you're mature enough for those questions, then you're not mature enough to date yet. So don't let passion dictate your principles. Don't let your passion dictate your principles. Let your principles regulate your passions. When God says don't, but your girlfriend or your boyfriend says do, who do you listen to? Who are you going to listen to? When you listen to your boyfriend or your girlfriend instead of God, you're taking God from the center of your life and you're putting your girlfriend or your boyfriend there, and that's worship, right? It's that worship when we take God off of that throne and we put someone there instead. And you might say, but I love him, but I love her, and we're in love, and we're going to get married anyway one day, and so, like, it's okay. But I want to ask you a question. Are you really in love? Do you know what love really means? Because I think a lot of times we confuse passion with love. We confuse love with lust. And it's what we feel and what we see and what we hear. Attraction and love is not the same thing. If we eliminated, like, all the physical attraction, what would you have left, right? So within that relationship, if all the physical attraction went away and you don't have anything left, it's not really love. Because guess what? Everybody's going to get old and fat and wrinkled one day. It's just the truth. I'm just going to tell you. And if all you had was physical attraction, it's gone. You can fall out of love just as easy as you think you fell into love. You know how your heart pounds when they walk into the room? And it's fun. And so you get little tingles and chills. And he's here. Oh, my gosh. Guess what? That's not love. It's cool. And it's fun. And it's kind of like giddy, right? But it's not love. Anybody that's been married more than a month could tell you that. It's fun, but the chills fade and the butterflies fade, and you might be infatuated with somebody, and you might have a crush on someone, and you might experience puppy love maybe when you see somebody, but it's not love. It's really just, it's an emotional experience. It's hormones, and it's fun, and it's exciting, yes, but it's also fleeting, and it's weak, and it goes away, and it's not nearly as meaningful as godly love and continually choosing to love someone. So 1 Corinthians 13 says this: love is patient, it's kind, it's selfless, it's not jealous, it doesn't get angry easily, it's not prideful, it doesn't dishonor others, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs, it trusts, it protects, it never fails. These are the type of things that you have to do if you really love somebody. And I don't know if you can do that, if you can really love someone without sacrificing for them. You can like somebody a whole lot, right? I believe that. But until you have to give and sacrifice them like Christ sacrificed for us, for his bride, for the church, then it's not love. Until they're sick and they're throwing up, and you have to take care of them, until you see them without makeup and without their Instagram filters on, until they eat the last fry on your plate and there's nothing left and you still have to choose, until you have to pay the mortgage and you go through debt together and you go through loss together, until you do those things, it's not really love. Love is solidified and identified, and it becomes real after you get married. So set your boundaries right now while you're dating, and don't act like you're married physically or emotionally, because you're not, right? You're not married yet. So physically and emotionally, don't act like you are. That, I mean, I know it's strong, but it's the truth. So I want to give you a challenge. And you know what? I think I forgot to put the second clip in here. I did. Let's do that real quick. Okay, put the second movie clip just because I think it's funny.
Love. True love.
It's true love.
True love.
True love.
True love.
True love.
True love.
True love. You heard him?
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
So that's what I was supposed to read before Corinthians 13. That's what true love is right there, 1 Corinthians 13. So there are people who do things just because everybody else is doing it, right? They bow down to the culture. They bow down to the crowd. But this is what I want to say to you. Who cares what everybody else does? And what I should have told myself, what I wish I would have known when I was your age. Who cares what everybody else does? Rise above it. We are supposed to be different. Define who you are, who you're, what your values are, your standards are. Decide, I'm not like everybody else. I don't think like everybody else. I'm not going with the crowd. I'm not going with the culture. Why? Because I am a child of God. Because I am a child of God. Determine, I'm going to live counter culture. I will be part of the minority. My marriage will last because the majority get divorced. No, I'm going to live as a part of the minority. My marriage will last. Choose right over easy. A lot of times, the right thing is not always the easy thing. The right thing is doing what God's word says to do. Not just knowing it, but applying it to your heart. You know, how's your future husband or your future wife going to find you if you look like everybody else does, right? If you wouldn't wear that outfit around your youth group, then why are you posting it on Instagram, right? If you want to attract someone that's godly, then why are you putting yourself out there as somebody that's not? Why are you scared for your friends at your school to know that you're a Christian? If you want a Christian man one day to marry you, you know, every time you go on social media and you pucker your lips and you're worried about that, you know, you look like every other girl on the internet. Do you want to look like every other girl on the internet, or do you want to look like a girl who is following hard after Jesus? If you fish, I know this is kind of hard, but if you're fishing with your body, then you're going to catch what you're fishing for. So instead, fish for a man of God. You can't do that if you're looking like every other girl on the internet. Define who you are and what your standards are. If not, then somebody else is going to define those standards for you. Who you are is what you are going to attract. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. My time is up. If your parents are here and they're like, why are you late? Just blame me. Like when you blame Pastor Lisa or like Pastor Jason, they're like, oh, it's okay. No, never mind. It's fine. Right? So just say that. So here's my last thing I want to say. What if I've already messed up? Because maybe you have already messed up. What if? And you know this part. And it's my favorite part is we have a loving and a forgiving God. No matter what you've done, you can move forward. You can repent. You can be forgiven. And that is the beauty of the gospel. That is the beauty of what we live for. Don't live in a place of guilt. You know, you can live looking in the past, or you can live looking forward. You know, I heard this analogy once and I love it. You can't drive down the road like this, looking out the back window, right? Instead, you have to look at the front window and you have to glance at the rearview mirror just to make sure you're safe and make sure you're okay and remind yourself of where you were every now and then. But you can't go forward if you're looking back. So I want to encourage you to look forward. God is love. He loves you because he is love, not because of anything you've done or anything you haven't done. It never changes, right? He loves you based on you, because you are his. You are a child of God. So I'm going to close real quick because I know it's time to go. I want to remind you, you don't have to date. Make the most of your time with Jesus. It's precious. It is a precious time when you're single. Make the most of it. And remember, people can't complete you, right? Only Jesus can do that. Second, when you date, date with a purpose. Is who I'm dating, is what we're doing, is when we're doing it, bringing glory to God. And then set clear boundaries. And then remember, the love of God is everlasting, that he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. So these are the things that I wish I would have known when I was your age, before I was your age, and when I started dating and dated a whole lot of people and caused a lot of heartache to other people. And then I had a lot of heartache too. And there was a lot of distraction when I wish I would have set my eyes and focused on Jesus. Now, am I a Christian today? Yes. Am I a pastor's wife? Yes. Did I do things I regret? Yeah. Did I, like, you know, do I look back and say, like, I'm a horrible person and I did the worst of the worst? No, but I can look back and say, I wish I would have done things differently. So I want that for you. And I know, you know, in a little short message, we can't kind of hit it all, but I want to let you know that I'm here. If you ever want to talk about anything, I know sometimes it's kind of weird to talk to parents about this stuff. Your parents love you. And they've been down that road too. Like, can you believe I wore Converse? I really did. Like, I had Converse back then, right? Your parents wore Converse. Your parents were teenagers just like you. And I'm here too. I would love to talk to you. I know Pastor Tyler and Natalie are here for you too. But that's about it. I'll pray for you real quick while we end. But know that I love you, and I'm here for you. And thank you for letting me speak to you tonight. Lord, we just thank you for your love, God, that is boundless. We thank you for the example that you've given us through your son, Jesus, sacrificing for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you that picture is how we're supposed to love others. Lord, I pray that you would be with very evident, your presence would be evident with each teenager here, God, that as they think about these things we talked about tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a new way that you haven't before, Lord. I pray that they would take these things to heart. I pray that you'd help us to be doers of the word and not only hearers, God, that their life.